Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a company to all of you. However, this company was brought up on last weekend's show by our good friend Giant Bendari. The company is Gold Mountain Mining, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GMTN. And down in the US, you can find the company GMTNF. I'm chatting with the CEO, Kevin Smith. Now, again, I recommend people listen to this intro interview and then also go back and hear what Giant outlined on that weekend show in segment 3 about what attracted him to this company and this project. The company holds the Elk Gold Project. It's around Merritt in British Columbia, so let's call it South Central BC. The company has some near-term production plans, and one thing to note, Gold Mountain just came public December 31st of last year, so still a very new company. Kevin, please take us through this move into near-term production. What are the timelines here?
Hey, Corey, thanks for having us today. Timelines on getting into production, we're just in the final throes of our permit amendment process. The Mine Review Committee is submitted their round 2 questions to us. We're providing answers as they become available. Once that Mine Review Committee process is completed, which we're anticipating taking another month to a month and a half, it'll get sent up for approval by the provincial government. Regardless of timelines on the permit being approved, though, the company intends, as soon as the snow melts off, to drive into construction. There isn't a lot of construction to do, but we're going to resurface the roads. We're going to be upgrading some water management that's currently on site. And we're going to be prepping some areas for site office and facilities when we go into production. July, August will be 2 months of waste rock mining so that we can get down to the good stuff. And then in September, we intend to be mining ore. We'll mine ore for the month of September. We will do assay samples and batch it on the ore pad that's already on site. And then once those results come back, we have an ore purchase agreement with New Gold's project, New Afton, which is in Kamloops, 130 kilometers away. And we'll start delivering ore to them. And we've negotiated a 90% of the metals payable. There's no toll milling charge. It's just a 90-10 split of the metals payable. And we have a 17-day payable with them. So we drop off ore, they take on the risk of recovery, and that allows us to get into production with a super low CapEx. And then we'll use the proceeds of mining to continue to expand the project up into year 4 with a goal of at least 50,000 ounces a year of production.
Okay. Now, the company has a 2020 PEA study. That's on slide 7 of the corporate presentation. I will post a link to that presentation. Now, as you outlined, this is a bit of a different start to production here. The first 3 years is this toll milling agreement and arrangement. Initial capital cost here is under $7 million Canadian to get that toll milling up and running. And then moving into years 4 through 10, then you're estimating annual production at around 50,000 ounces a year. That expansion costs right around $26 million Canadian. Just explain to us how that move from toll milling into that higher annual production will work, please.
Yeah, so again, we have an ore purchase agreement with New Afton, which we're extremely excited about. So we'll truck ore. It's a very easy to manage contract. Once we drop off the ore at their site, they have 17 days to pay us. And then there's a scale on our site with a ticket. And then there is the assay and sampling results that come from the third party lab that we both agreed on. So that's how we'll figure out tonnage and grade. And then that proceeds of mining, you know, we're mining some of our highest grades in the first 3 years, which is, you know, really good for us. We kick off roughly $43.5 million in profit in those first 3 years. And that money will be set aside to continue drilling and expanding the resource. And then as well, we'll go through an environmental assessment, which we've budgeted $2.5 million for. And then we also have the CapEx to put our own little hot rod 900 ton per day mill on site, which will be custom designed for our ore to maximize recovery.
Okay. Now, there is also a pre-feasibility study underway, from my understanding. Can you give us some more insights on what you're hoping this pre-feas shows the market?
Yeah. So, I mean, our initial conversations with institutional investors is scale is a concern on this project for them. We know the scale's there. We know that we can ramp up the resource as well as ramp up production. But the goal of the PFS is to, number one, validate the PEA and update it with the numbers from our locked-in mining contract agreement that we have in place with Newellman Lake, and then also the ore purchase agreement metrics. And on top of that, as everybody knows, JDS is, you know, infamous for some of their underground work around the world. We're having them take a really serious look at the underground potential of this mine. And then when we ramp up production, we would look at running an underground scenario in parallel with our high-grade open pit scenario, because some of our highest grades are the underground ounces. So it's important for us to continue chasing that. And we're hoping this PFS starts to show the scale of the project so that we can start attracting a more institutional level investor.
Okay. So the current resource, or the most recent defined resource, is a little over 500,000 ounces of gold equivalent at a relatively high grade. In the measured and indicated category, you have a little more than 450,000 ounces gold equivalent at over 5 grams per ton. The inferred category, almost 100,000 ounces gold equivalent at over 6.5 grams per ton. But I understand there's a lot of exploration work to be done here. What are some of the targets for expanding on this current resource?
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about the Elk project is 127,000 meters of drilling has already been completed. So we have a really clear idea on where the data gaps are. And we're in phase one of our drill program right now. We just released some results, which are extremely encouraging. Management has a goal of marching this up to 1 million ounces near term. And we feel like those initial results show we're going to be able to do that. So we did a lot of infilling and step out drilling just to add some inferred ounces to the resource. So those results came out last week. And then we're currently finishing off some of our deeper drilling, which will target some of that high grade stuff that's also being contemplated by JDS in that pre-feasibility study. So visual results so far are very encouraging, and we're looking forward to getting those assays back. But, you know, the goal will be to take all this data from phase one and immediately march into phase two of our drill program. We just raised $10 million. You know, we had a healthy treasury, but the opportunity came along. Crescat approached us as far as doing a positioning round and coming in as a long-term partner. So we took that opportunity with their lead order to bring another $10 million in, and that allows us to really march into not only the near-term production scenario, but also keep the drill turning and expanding the resource.
What's the total meterage that you're planning on drilling now, or at least this summer after breakup when you get back on the ground?
We've completed 7,000 meters of the 7,500 in phase one. So we're just wrapping up phase one right now. It's starting to get sloppy on site, and it's getting harder and harder to move the drill. So we'll take a 2 to 3 week break during breakup here, use that opportunity to look over the data and plan phase two. And phase two will be at least another 7,500 meters. But given the results so far, we're considering ramping that up.
Now, slide 15 on the presentation outlines some of these other zones that you can target for this exploration. But as people can see in the slide 15, there are some zones, let's call them, that are adjacent to where the current resource is. What is going to be the priority of the follow-up drill program, or even this current program, in terms of, I guess, adding ounces, but then also potentially making new discoveries?
Yeah, with the results that we got from that shallow infill and step out drilling, I really think we'll put some more meterage into the main Siwash North zone. But as you mentioned, you know, we have all these satellite zones on site that are drill tested. They're showing similar grades and structure. It's a very predictable resource and deposit. So, you know, we can kind of, once we're done poking holes in the Siwash North, We can go out to those satellite zones, and we already have some, you know, data gaps that we can infill there as well to start adding ounces. But I think right now, the focus for us is going to be really on that Siwash North zone, showing that we can scale up that resource successfully. And then there is also over in the volcanic. So most of our drilling, or all of our drilling, sorry, is done in the granite side of the property. Over in the volcanics, you see potentially a more bulk tonnage style target. So we also do have one hole planned over there in an area called the Elusive Zone. And the reason that we want to target that is that's the second highest golden soil grade anomalies on site. And, you know, with Kodiak MPD 10 kilometers-ish to the south of us, you know, we see a real opportunity to potentially find something interesting over there. So, you know, Siwash North is the focus for us. One or two of those satellite zones might see some drilling to, you know, continue dragging inferred ounces into the resource, and then that one hole over in the Elusive Zone to look at a potential bulk tonnage target.
Okay, so a lot of exploration, and as you even outlined, cash in the bank to do that exploration. Quickly update us on how the company came to acquire this project. This project was held in Equinox. Equinox wasn't doing much with it. So what happened? What are the terms of the deal? What got you attracted to this Elk project?
Yeah, I can't take credit for that. Our president, Ron Wu, and our COO, Grant Carlson, who are both mining engineers, they stumbled upon this project. Grant's dad, Jerry Carlson, has been around the project for years. It was acquired by Equinox, you know, when they did that flurry of mergers and acquisitions. And it was sort of something that was just sitting on the shelf. And, you know, Equinox had other priorities. These guys thought it was a really good opportunity. Someone had gone in and broken their pick a few times. So the money's been spent. We know what's there. Both of them are mining engineers, so they felt extremely confident in their ability to put it into production. And, you know, they had it privately for 2 years. When they acquired it from Equinox, they negotiated what I feel is a really interesting set of terms. They bought it for $10 million with a $1 million down payment. And then there's a $3 million cash payment due May 16th this year, next year, and the following year. 0% interest. And, you know, have the money in the bank for this year's payment. So that's de-risked. And we plan to pay the balance of it through the proceeds of mining. But, you know, Ron and Grant, they approached me and, you know, asked if I'd be interested in supporting them. I had a CPC called Freeform Capital. We had a lot of, you know, really high quality investors that help us put that together. And we raised them the initial $4.7 million to get it up off the ground. And the rest is kind of history. So they're very operations focused. And I've come in here with a few guys to help them on the capital market side and drive the business forward.
Okay, let's talk about share structure then, because this is a new company, but it is nice to see that there isn't a massive amount of shares that are already issued. Total outstanding, a little under 60 million on a fully diluted basis, about 73 million. One thing to note, too, is that a lot of the warrants are in the money. How much money could those warrants bring in if or when they are all exercised?
We're already starting to see a few of those warrants get exercised, and there's $12 million. So we're really encouraged at the company's ability to just go out and execute and continue to have money come into the treasury from those warrant exercises. So, you know, we're excited about that, and that'll help fund not only the exploration ambitions, but also that near-term production CapEx.
Okay, so late last month, February 23rd, you guys announced closing of the private placement. Initially for $5 million, it was oversubscribed to $10 million. How much money does the company have in the bank currently?
When we closed out that financing, we already had $2.5 million left in the bank. So, you know, we have a pretty high burn rate in that we're driving forward into production and getting our permit, and we're also exploring. But we still have over $10 million in the bank as we speak.
Okay. And that satisfies getting into production and facilitating the exploration, correct?
As well as the payment to Equinox.
All right. Let's just wrap it up then quickly with a little overview on news flow. What are some of the news events that investors can expect as, well, the company is moving forward with production, but also has the drill program that's at least the first phase wrapping up now?
Yeah, I mean, from a news flow perspective, we've had a lot since we went public, and I would suspect that investors are going to see a lot more of the same. We've got these deep drill results that are coming in. Assays are due sort of within the next 2 to 3 weeks, and we're really excited about the visual indications on that. There's the permit development side of things. We expect some progress updates to be coming out very soon on that. There's also the pre-feasibility study. The trade-off studies are almost complete based on the feedback from JDS. So, we're really looking forward to finding out whether or not if they think it makes sense to go after that hybrid open pit underground scenario starting in year four. And then just keep driving forward on getting phase two drilling started. And, anticipating starting construction in June of this year. So I don't think there's going to be any shortage of news flow and developments for investors.
All right. Well, Kevin, I appreciate this introduction. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Or if you want Kevin and I to focus a future interview on an aspect of the company, whether it is exploration or the production scenario here, also include that in your email. And again, this company was introduced to us by Giant Bendari. Quentin Henny has just joined the advisory board. So I have talked to both of those guys. They both are very excited about the exploration potential as well as the production, near-term production scenario. Kevin, I appreciate the introduction. Thank you for your time, and we'll follow up as some more news hits the market.
Corey, thank you so much for your time, and looking forward to talking soon.